Wonderful. Today we'll be in the book of Matthew once again. To be honest with you, for the next few weeks we're going to be dealing with Easter. I know we've been going through the Beatitudes, and I really thought, well, this could be a great time to hit on that last topic. But I realized when you only have about 15 or so minutes, you don't want to deal with divorce too quickly, and that's one of the things that we're going to be dealing with after Easter. But one of the things that strikes me today as we're preparing for Easter is that sometimes we lose sight of the heart of God. And as I was thinking about that, a scripture the Lord brought to me comes out of Matthew chapter 23. Hopefully you have it. It's the very last couple of verses. This were probably some of the last words of Christ before the Passion Week as he was speaking. To give you some idea, he's talking to the disciples and followers that are just beginning to get a taste of what Christ is like. And he's also talking to the religious leaders who have basically made knowing God about rules and regulations and continually weighing people down and making it a burden instead of a joy. But then he says this, and they say that Jesus probably spoke these words as he was coming over into Jerusalem. And one of the amazing things, if you've ever been there is a road that you sort of walk up to, and you sort of oversee the whole city, and you see the Temple Mount, and you see the Mount of Olives, and it's all there, and it's amazing and wonderful and great. But hear Jesus' words today. Oh, Jerusalem! Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who was sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under his wings. But you were not willing. Look, your house has left you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we just thank you that you are a God who has longings for a people like us. And Lord, I know at this very moment I have been asking throughout this week that you would speak mightily and powerfully. May the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. But again, once again, we declare we long to see Christ today above everything else. So, Father, I ask that you would quiet our hearts and you would begin to speak to our souls and you would open up opportunity for us to understand and think and process. And, Lord, anything that would build itself up against you right now, we bind in the name of Jesus and simply ask that you would be glorified this morning. But change us as we partake of this great feast of adoption and grace and love. Thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. I should say at the very beginning, I wanted to thank Jerry for filling in last week and the elders and the staff that helped out. But today I want to talk about the longings of God. And I really do believe so often we underestimate the heart of God. In fact, sometimes I think we make God in our own image. And because of that, we lose sight of his heart, his compassion, his grace, and his mercy. And to be very honest with you, because of the loss of Jed, there are some scriptures that just capture my heart like never before. But when it talks about a God that's longing for great things, it's like a sledgehammer within my own heart. And as I just said, these are probably some of the last speaking types of words that Jesus offers before he goes into Jerusalem to find the cross and the crucifixion that's there. But I'm hoping today that his words will capture your imagination. And I'm hoping that you will have the courage to respond at the end of this time. And I'm hoping that you will listen with open ears. And I'm hoping you'll see the tenderness and compassion and the desire of Christ. And one of the things I would challenge you to do, though, if you have your Bibles with you, or if you don't, just simply listen. And in the very beginning, oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, what would happen if you put your name in that spot? So it's, oh, Steve, or Bill, or Sue, whatever the case may be. What if you just superimposed your name and it says, oh, Nathan, you who kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to you. I mean, at this point, Jesus is overlooking that city, and this city was called the Holy City, the dwelling place of God, and it was living far below what God longed it to live like as a city and as a nation. And as you read these words, you who kill the prophets and stone them, I want you to sort of set that aside. In Jesus' day, that actually happened. If you were a prophet in Jesus' day, or really before, if you read through the Old Testament, it seems like all of the people that God sent to the nation and God sent to encourage them and to bring change and transformation, almost all of them got themselves killed by the religious leaders of the day and the people that followed them. And I know you and I don't literally kill people any longer. We don't take the prophets out and stone them or cut them in half or do some of the crazy things that went on in the Old Testament. But I think sometimes we kill the prophets and stone the messengers when we listen to messages week after week after week and on the radio and on the TV, and we have our devotions day after day after day, and it goes one ear and out the other. Or we argue or reject his calling on our lives. Or we often disregard what we know God is calling us to do. And we look at his standards and we refuse. We don't want to follow after them. We want to go our own way. Have you ever been there before? Those simple acts of obedience, that idea that we're going to forgive one another and that we're going to trust and obey and we're going to serve with grace and mercy and we're going to be kind and compassionate and we're going to be open with one another. Those simple acts of obedience we just don't hear any longer because we're private people. I think we miss out. I think we kill the prophets and stone them when the conviction comes and we just don't respond with a yes, but we push it down with busyness, and we can always come up with the reasons why we just can't obey God at this moment. So what does God long to do? And again, I think some of us, and probably all of us at one time or another, have such a twisted view of the way we think about God, and I've sort of talked to you over the years how many different images we have of him, but so often our views of God are not even scriptural, though it may be what we've experienced or what people have told us about, but how often is our view of God twisted and broken? And no matter how often God says, I have plans for you, I have good plans for you that offer you a hope, we literally think the opposite. Have you ever been there? Have you ever looked at the scriptures and begun to wonder if God even is aware of what's going on in your life? And we often have this idea that he's at a distance. In fact, some of our founding fathers described God as the great watchmaker, where he made the earth and he designed it, and he, just like a watchmaker did, and he winded it up and just sort of stands off at a distance and watches it tick down. Never really intervening, just sort of watching and seeing what his people are going to do. And a lot of us sort of have that idea, even though we've never said that out loud. We want him to bless him and take care of us, but we'd also prefer to him to be at a distance, wouldn't we? But what does the scripture says? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed. Do you realize God has a furious longing for you? He longs. And he says, I have longed to gather you as children together. And I was just thinking, for some of you, when you even hear that this morning, you're thinking things like this, maybe in your heart of hearts. You hear that, how often I've longed to gather your children together to mess with you, to destroy you, to rob your resources, to take all the enjoyment you have and remove it from life itself. I want to mess with your free time so you're completely overwhelmed and upset. I want to warp your children's well-being. I mean, we don't say these things, but we often think about them, don't we? I'm going to mess with them. It, just for the joy of messing with them. I want you to be a people that get up every morning and know you're a disappointment to me. And I want to increase your self-hatred of yourself so that you're miserable and you're awfully weighed down And the list goes on and on and on. And I think a lot of us, even though we've never said it, that's how we often feel about God. He's trying to mess with me. He's taking my free time. He's interfering with my resources. He's messing with my kids' lives. And is that what that scripture says? I mean, I hope you know I'm being facetious. No. God never responds to us. He says, I long to gather you up as a hen gathers up its chicks. And one of the neat things is living in Greenville is you guys have all seen chickens. If you do this in New Jersey, the people look at you like those things that come in the saran wrap at stores. They don't have any idea what a chicken does. But if you watch a chicken with a hen with its chicks, it's amazing to watch. When the bird flies over, the hawk that comes down, or the crow, or whatever the case may be, that chicken fluffs up and the little chicks run underneath it, and it's just astounding to see what would go on. The cat goes by, the dog comes through the yard, the shadow over top of them affects them, and that mother hen will protect beyond any reasonable doubt. And God says, Jesus says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the ones that have killed my people in the past, I love you so much, I want to gather your children together as a hen gathers his chicks. Isn't that an amazing thing? God longs to shelter and to protect and to provide and to supply and to open doors of opportunity and to place you on a good, good road. What an amazing future. A purposeful life we can have. In fact, one of the things that's been sort of interesting to me is that I get on sort of, I'll just confess it to you, Facebook every so often, not actually to post things, but to creep on all of you guys. And one of the amazing things, and it's been posted a couple times, and it just strikes me as crazy, it's the I want to have a mediocre life post. I don't know if you've seen that yet. It's worth looking up. It's an awful title, and basically what I think is really funny is that if you really wanted to have a mediocre life, according to this, it's just foolishness. Because it talks about slowing down, and it talks about having peace, and it talks about having relationships, and it talks about enjoyment, and it's far from mediocre. But what's really funny, it's all the things that God longs for us to have, but we refuse to enter into it because of our busyness. Do you realize what God longs for you may be far different from what you are expecting of him? Have you ever experienced the longing of God? Have you ever stopped and thought that we have a God that literally wants to take care of us in the details of our lives, and yet our enemy tells us, and I think if the enemy is going to defeat us, he just needs to continually remind us of the fact that God isn't trustworthy and he really doesn't care. I mean, it began in Adam and Eve's story. Remember what the enemy did to Adam and Eve? Are you sure you can trust God? That's where it starts. And I want to remind you that this isn't an earning thing. For so often we believe that if we want to experience God's best, we need to earn it in order for it to happen. It doesn't say anywhere in this passage of Scripture that Jesus is saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you would only come to me and earn your way, I would be like a hen gathering its chicks. See, this is an accepting thing. It's a responding thing. In fact, Scripture says he's looking for those who will completely be his. Can you imagine that for a few moments? I mean, just imagine if right now God is saying, I am longing to do amazing things in your heart and in your home and in your relationships. I am longing to provide and open up doors of opportunity, and I am longing to give you the very best that you could ever imagine. Have you ever thought about that? And yet I think probably one of the saddest, most awful verses of Scripture comes in the next few words. What does it say? I have this longing in my heart to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. You're not willing.
Jesus longed, he desired to give you the absolute best. And I want you to see even the verse afterward. It says, not only are you not willing, but you will have the things that you're searching for. Your home is built. It's a glorious mansion, but it's desolate. It falls short of life. And I think sometimes we have this idea that God won't give us success. And yet Scripture says, I will often give my people success, but they will have a leanness of their souls. Jesus is saying here, I long to gather and give you the best. But you weren't willing. Can you hear? Can you see Jesus today? Can you see and sort of hear the anguish of his words? I'm longing to give you the best. I'm longing to meet the desires of your hearts. I'm longing to take care of you and your family. I'm longing to open up doors of opportunity. I'm longing to walk with you and comfort you in the most horrendous places where you find yourself. But you were not willing. See, as I hear those words today, it just comes to me over and over again. Each of us has a choice to make. Jesus is literally saying, will you come to me? Will you come to me? See, I think if we're honest with ourselves, and if you've had children, or you've watched as a grandparent, or you're an aunt or uncle, or if you've just noticed what's going on, what's the hardest thing about being a parent? And again, this is probably more sensitive to my heart than most people's here, but one of the most amazing things a parent, one of the hardest things to deal with is when you offer your children the very best options, and they choose to turn the other way. And they miss out. Have you ever experienced that before? And your heart aches. I mean, let's be honest with you. One of the things that happens to me almost on a daily basis is we get up as a couple and as we look at the pictures in our house and we see all of the potential that Jed had. I mean, what's amazing to us is that he's still getting posts on Facebook about how he changed people's lives. And as we see that each and every day, the grief isn't just so much for the loss. The grief comes because your kid has missed out on the best. Because of his choices. And it makes me wonder how often God looks at us and says, I don't understand it. I offer the best to my people continually. I've promised to be with them. I've promised to love them. I've promised to forgive them. I've promised to walk with them. I've promised to provide for them. I've given my very own son for them. And they still refuse to enter in because they're fearful of what could happen. This morning, I believe Christ is still calling out and he is still longing to gather us in, this furious longing. Will you enter in? And I just wrote in my notes, please, please don't let fear or small imaginations or an unwillingness to give up your trinkets when you're being offered a treasure. When the kingdom of God is being offered to you, don't sell them short on your own ideas. I think it was C.S. Lewis that wrote about finding a little boy in a mud puddle making mud cakes. Have you ever done that when you were a little kid? And they offer him a vacation at the shore, and he goes, no, I'd rather just play in the mud. I mean, we've all been there. We just love to play in the mud sometimes. But what if we could partake of the most amazing gift? What if we would come before God and say, I've never knew that you longed to do something within my heart and mind to change and transform me. I never knew that if I would surrender myself completely to you, I would begin to experience things that are far beyond what my imagination can even think of at this moment. This morning, as we partake in this amazing banquet of adoption, what if you simply said, this is the day, this is the time. What if you just simply said, Lord, I didn't know that you wanted to do something for my benefit. I will accept what you bring. Are you willing to let him gather you in? And I know that can be a scary thing and a hard thing because part of letting him gather you in is that you submit your control into his hands. Are you holding back today? Will you continue to stone the prophets that walk before you? See, that's the choice each of us have each and every day. Every morning, the father gets up and says, I long to do something wonderful in my kids' lives. Now, the question is, will you enter into it? Will you accept it? Will you be willing to let God's longing be real in your heart and in your mind and in your life? And I believe it starts by simply saying, God, I'm here. I'm willing not only to hear you today, I'm willing to respond to you. I will open my eyes to all that you have, and I will walk through the doors that you open, and I will recognize that you long for the best, and I don't want to miss out on one simple thing. Father, as we come before you, as we're about to take this feast of love, I ask that you would prepare our hearts. The saddest verse in Scripture, I believe, is found in verse 39, but we were unwilling to enter in. And Lord, I ask that you would speak to us and manifest your presence within our heart. And if there is anything that you are longing to do in the lives of your children this morning, I ask that this would be the day that they accept what you long to do for them. You have plans to prosper them and not harm them. You have plans to give them a home that isn't desolate, but bustling with life and joy and celebration. You have plans to wrap your arms around those who are brokenhearted so that they may experience the comfort and your love and grace. Would you come and do that mighty work? In Jesus' most precious name, we thank you for what you're going to do. Amen.